If you'll turn with me to Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. Father, we thank you for your word, which is an ancient word, but it is alive. It is fresh. It gives life purpose and reveals to us both corporately and as individuals your plan for our lives. And we thank you, Father, that this was not just some words written down centuries ago, but it's given life to every generation from the time it was written to all time eternal. All these things that we see on this earth are yet passing. They're only temporal. But the word of God is eternal. His promises are eternal to us. And we can stand upon that foundation. When everything else in the earth and in our lives, both personally and also as a nation or nations, begin to shake, know this, that we can stand upon his word. And you know what's beautiful? He's revealed his plans and his purposes to us. It's not a secret. Just as any child knows as they become mature what's going on in the house, in the family. And that's what Abba, Father God, has done. He's revealed both the beginning, the middle, and the end. And you know what's beautiful? All those who are his children, who want to walk in his presence, doing what is pleasing in his sight, we're all going to win, because he's made us more than conquerors for those who are in Messiah, Yeshua, Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that moment, the Talmudim came to Yeshua and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of Abba, Father God in heaven?" He called a child to him and stood him among them. And he said, "Yes, I tell you that unless you change and become like little children, you won't even enter Abba, Father God's kingdom of heaven." So the greatest in the kingdom is whoever makes himself as humble as this child. Isn't that beautiful? There's no greatness in me other than Messiah living out his life in and through us. There are men and women who've come to know Messiah who desire to be great. But what does Messiah say? "If you lift me up and proclaim me to the peoples of the earth, then I will draw all the peoples unto me and unto the Father." That is the task that the Lord has set before us. But what do we get into? Our horizontal vision, having one up over another. That was not the way that Yeshua came and demonstrated how the Father is to us. So we should always see one another as co-equals in Messiah, to encourage, to build up one another. Verse 5, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So when you greet one another in the Lord, as you come across one another's paths throughout the week, and also today, as we greeted one another, as we welcomed one another, we're welcoming Yeshua. And there's unity in the body of Messiah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So who is the greatest? In other words, the one who is least among you all. That is the one who is great. How does the world define greatness? In business, by profits are the most common standard of measurement. In sports, there's the Hall of Fame. It is either individual stats or championship rings that they've won. In entertainment, it's the Oscars. It's the Tony Awards. It's the Grammys, etc. In politics, a blatant grab for power and taking credit for accomplishments, in spite of you earning them or not. The field of education is more subtle, but the aura of sophistication and arrogance, whether in the arena of teaching or research or publishing, In technology, it's on inventions, creativity, innovation, productivity are recognized. Yeshua is now desiring to pass the responsibility of spiritual leadership to his Talmudim, to his disciples, because he recently announced them for the second time, I'm about to die, but don't worry, on the third day I will raise from the dead. They had just been instructed this. Most would be focused on caring about Yeshua's needs, but instead that is revealed is that their heart of selfishness and pride is revealed in their ambitious striving for first place in the kingdom of Abba, Father God. Yeshua measures greatness by the standard of the humble dependence rather than on the achievements of worldly recognition or social or economic status. Must how-to books advise the ambitious to look out for number one in order to get ahead in the world? But Yeshua's advice is exactly the opposite. Put aside selfishness in order to get ahead in heaven. Advancement in this world will follow as a consequence of laying down one's life for one another. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 goes on to share this in greater depth of the heart and the contentment that was going on in the Talmudim. Kepha Peters began saying to him, Yeshua, look, we've left everything and we followed you. Yeshua said, yes. I tell you, there is not one who has left a house, brothers or sisters, mother or father, children or fields, for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100 times over, now in the Olam Hazeh, that is this world. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers and children, and lands with persecutions. Wait a second. You mean as I lay down these things, I'm going to receive persecution? Absolutely. Because just as they persecuted Messiah, so shall we face persecution. But know this, he overcame. He was more than a conqueror when he was persecuted, and so shall we be. As we hold on to his promises and lay down the things, the desires of our own heart, whether if it's public status, you fill in the blank. It does not matter. Continue in verse 31. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Now the commentary. The good news of Messiah's death and resurrection brings Abba Father God's wisdom to light on the practical problems that are rooted in people's pride and selfishness. What did he say? The good news of Messiah's death and the resurrection bring Abba Father God's wisdom to light on the practical problems that are rooted in people's pride and selfishness. Continuing, this is exposed in their lack of humble dependence and failure to properly respond to the unique and supreme greatness of Messiah Yeshua. It was like a bump in the road to them. They felt sad for a moment, but then someone said, yeah, but once he's gone, which one of us are going to take over? Who's the greatest here? So who is the greatest in the kingdom of Abba, Father God, but his own son, Yeshua? Their arguing shows that the Talmudim did not share the mind of Yeshua on the matters of authority and greatness. Have you noticed this as a young believer? That you've been slowly gaining the mind of Messiah on issues. You have an interpretation of Scripture at one time, but as we spend time meditating on God's Word, it renews our mind and washes it and purifies it. Remember this, we were created in whose image and likeness? But Abba, Father God. And whose thoughts are we to have? His thoughts. We're to have the mind of Messiah and of Father God. When we see people hurting, should we just say, well, I don't want to be bothered with that today? Or do we begin to hurt inside also? Do we begin to grieve? Are we not one body, unified? And as the scripture says, as one part of the body suffers, so shall the whole part of the body suffer, right? And that's why we take time to intercede and build up one another, right? Because if everyone walked through these doors every time when we met in Shabbat and you ask them, how are things going? Good, good. And you know what's really going on? Their world is turned upside down and inside out. And they're hurting. That's the place where we can be real and share with one another the hurts, the pains, the joys that we have in one another's life. And we can persevere through that, pray, stand with one another, and to encourage one another. And that's what Yeshua is showing and teaching his Talmudim here. Do not have your focus on yourselves, but your brothers and sisters in Messiah. And treat everyone as a co-equal, even the children in the midst of the congregation. Show them love and honor and respect. Continuing. Perhaps even the point of eagerly anticipating lording it over others as kings of the Gentiles do. A way of thinking that Yeshua warned the disciples about again and again, even at the final Passover meal. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, 25. So you think here in chapter 18, Yeshua gave the word about who's the greatest, all right? What's going on here at Pesach? The betrayer is there looking for his chance to betray the Messiah. Luke 22, 24. An argument arose among them, who are them? The Talmudim, the disciples, to which should be considered the greatest. Are you kidding me? Is that not out of place? Haven't they received great instruction on this? But look at this. It keeps coming up and up again. Why? Because they did not put that to death in their flesh. All right? And Yeshua said to them, the kings of the Goyim lord it over one another, do they not? And those in authority over them are given what? The title, the benefactor. But not so with you. On the contrary, let the greater among you become like the younger, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one reclining at the table or the one who serves? It's the one reclining at the table, isn't it? But I myself am among you like the one who serves. Because what did he do at the very beginning? He disrobed himself and put a garment around his waist, and he took up a container of water and a towel, and he began to wash his Talmudim's feet. Okay? That was at the very beginning of that last Passover, Pesach celebration. And through that, what are they doing? They're arguing over with one another who's the greatest. See, these things in our lives, they keep cropping up, do they not? Are there times when you realize that something happens in your life, someone says something to you, or something happens or doesn't happen to your own benefit, what rises up? Our old carnal nature. We get angry. We get upset with that individual or that circumstance. But what does the mind of the Lord say? As the carnal nature arises in us, we're to do what? Put it to death and arise in new life in Messiah. So let us continue here. Now let's look at Mark chapter 10, 28. Excuse me. Here we are in Luke 22, 25. Luke chapter 22, 25 is what I just shared. And so Yeshua answers to their question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of Abba, Father God? This is the topic that takes up the rest of Matthew chapter 18. Yeshua first instructs his Talmudim to redefine greatness. Don't go according to the definition of the world and away from a focus on the hierarchy, the status, the privilege, toward a standard based on how you treat others, just as he's living out and he's demonstrating to them. Furthermore, this kingdom of Abba, Father God's standard was to be the standard for his body of believers for all generations yet to come. Yeshua teaches using two scenarios for how you should treat others and warning against offending the little ones in verses 1 through 14 of Matthew 18. Yeshua warns those who would be great against offending others. And so we look here a little closer at Matthew 18, 2 through 4. How are we to react? Through humility. That is, we are to change our way of thinking. If the Word of God, Yeshua, was willing to empty himself and come into a form of a working class carpenter, humbling himself in obedience even unto death, what does this mean for us? Those who follow in Yeshua's footsteps, the body of believers. That is this, prepare for all your desires to be put to death. By whom? By you, not by others. And you are to become a child and humble yourself before Abba, Father God, and your brothers and sisters. You know what's amazing? Children don't naturally act humble. Rather, they are humble. They are of lowly status, completely dependent. We have no power to save ourselves from death. We are 100% dependent on the mercy of Abba, Father God, who dwells in heaven. We must turn away from our preoccupation with status and humble ourselves as if we were a child and trust our heavenly Abba Father to meet all our needs. How does this affect human relationships? Simple. Those who think highly of themselves tend to treat others as unimportant. Have you ever been that place? You've known someone in your congregation for years and years, and all of a sudden, someone of greater status in the eyes of that other person comes into the room. Immediately, they break conversation with you, and they want to have conversation with that other person. A scenario with great potential to create a stumbling block for others in the body of Messiah, Yeshua, and also in our neighborhoods. Matthew 18, 5 through 7 teaches that we are now to take responsibility. You are responsible for the effect you have on the spiritual lives of others, how you treat one another. On a positive side, we welcome newcomers who hear and obey Abba, Father God in heaven. On the negative side, Abba, Father God is very displeased with those who mess up the spiritual lives of others. Have you ever been guilty of that? I have. I've had to repent before the Lord and before those individuals. If you're reading the New King James Version or the NIV, you'll read the phrase cause to sin. It is a bad and poor translation of the Greek word skandilazo. And think about that word, skandilazo. What comes from it? Scandal. Which is translated to offend or to be offended, but also to cause to fall away or to stumble. Very often the result of someone being offended is that they fall away, right? Because you weren't there for them that time. You're a human being. And we need to apologize at times when we fail. These individuals, they leave their trust in Yeshua and they forsake the community of believers. So how are we to avoid this? The answer is found in Matthew 18, 8 through 9. It is by self-denial. There are times when you'll hear a call 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and someone just needs you to pray with them, right? We're woken out of a slumber and we're thinking in our minds, can it wait till tomorrow? It can't. Otherwise, they couldn't got hold of you. And what are we to do at that point? Put our carnal nature to death and arise and ask, Lord, now fill my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit with your love and compassion that I already know that you have for this individual so that I can share that love and compassion that you have and that can be part of my love and compassion and understanding towards this individual. If we're honest and we're truthful, we've ran in these times where we've come to the end of ourselves, right? We become exasperated from time to time. That's a time to recognize that, to put your carnal nature to death, and to arise new life in Messiah. Just like when people offend you, ask the Father to let you see that individual through his eyes. ask him to show you the plan and purposes and the call that he has on their lives, right? So that we can then show love, mercy, and grace and walk in unity with one another. See, God wants us to be real and to be transparent. This is a very transparent message I'm sharing with you today as I've been growing in the Lord. And there are times when I think, well, I've already put that old carnal nature of my life to death. But you know what happens? Circumstances happen. And I have to put it, that's why it says, take up with you what? Your cross, your execution stake, what? Daily. And put your carnal nature to death daily. It's not a one-time event. I wish it was. But what does the scripture reveal? It's an ongoing. The only time when we'll have that full separation from our carnal nature is when we're literally in the presence of the Lord in heaven. Amen? Amen. So that's something that we need to do. I cannot put my brothers and sisters' carnal nature to death. That is not the authority that God has placed in my life. He's given each individual that authority to put their own carnal nature. That's why in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says to offer your body as what? As a holy and living sacrifice unto the Lord. And this is a true full function of worship. It's not simply just singing songs before the Lord, but laying down a sacrifice. And what is our sacrifice? Our old carnal nature. So let us continue here. Matthew 18:8-9, self-denial. If there are parts of our personnel that is causing stumbling and offense and causing others to fall away, we must get rid of them. These are expressed in vanity, love of gossip. We must begin to consider the commands of Abba, Father God, as not a weak guideline. Right? There are times when we allow our carnal nature to reinterpret what we've already learned in the scripture. Wrestling with the minutiae of scripture and lording over others, coldness and indifference, these things have a negative effect on others and us. This is what Yeshua means when he says, whoever finds his own life will lose it, but the person who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's from Matthew 10:39. So what are we to do? We're to pursue Yeshua's path, even at the expense of our own desires, putting our lives to death. And did Yeshua face this in his own life? Absolutely. When he was on the Mount of Olives, what did he say to the Father? He said these words, if there be another way. That was not his carnal nature crying out, because he did not possess one. He was without sin, but he had a human nature. And that's why he asked the Father, is there any other way? And you know what? As we put our carnal natures to death, then we have to deal with our human nature. And you know, the scripture says, never tells us to put our human nature to death, but to cause it to submit to Abba, Father, God's will. And what does the scripture say? He arose because the angels came and they ministered to him on the Mount of Olives. So continuing here. Remember, Yeshua is talking now to his Talmudim. They are the founding members of his body of believers, the Kihilah, the congregation. His congregation, not ours. Yeshua is answering their question about who would be the greatest. The answer is, greatest was to be measured in their treatment of others, especially the little ones, the small, the weak, and the naive. The parable now of the lost sheep. Matthew 8:12. And this is beautiful how it starts out. Yeshua asks his Talmudim, so what's your opinion? What have we been stressing in these messages the past Shabbats? God desires for us to think, to reason these things out in our mind. Because as we reason out these things in our mind, you know what? We notice that our mind, our definitions do not align up with Abba Father God's. And so what we ask then, therefore, is for the nature and the mind of Messiah. So continuing, what's your opinion? Think for yourself, Talmudim, I added. What will somebody do when 100 sheep and one of them wanders away? Won't he leave the 99 on the hillsides and off to find the stray? And if he happens to find it, yes, I tell you, he's more happier over that one than the 99 who have never strayed. Thus, your Abba, Father, God in heaven does not want even these little ones to be lost. All right? And so Yeshua shared this parable also in Luke 15, 3 through 7. So he, Yeshua, told this parable. If one of the 100 sheep is lost, doesn't he leave the 99 in the desert? See, Matthew didn't speak about it being a desert. But after the lost one, he goes until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully hoists it over his shoulders. And when he comes home, he calls all his friends and his neighbors together. And he says, come and celebrate me because I've found my lost sheep. I tell you this same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who turns to Abba, Father God, from his sins than the 99 people who have no need to repent. And who is that speaking of? Those who are lost. How do people come to realize that they're lost? That has to be by divine revelation of the Spirit of the living God. And so every Shabbat when we pray for the lost loved ones, and some of us may read that as, oh, only family members. But I say this to you, do we not have one mother and father, Adam and Eve? So who fits the criteria of lost family members? Everyone on this earth who is a human being, male, female, children, no matter what nationality, no matter what type of sexual orientation that's been twisted in their minds, they are brothers and sisters, and they are our lost family members. And there are times when we see those people, and we may be disgusted by their actions and how they live their lives. But what are we to do at that point? Gain the mind of Messiah, gain his heart, gain his eyes, so that we'll be able to pray and intercede on their behalf. Amen? Amen. Shabbat shalom.